Now today at the U.S. Supreme Court, justices heard oral arguments in two different cases on the federal government's authority to issue and enforce COVID-19 vaccine requirements. Those include vaccine or test mandates for large businesses and another one for healthcare workers at facilities that get money from the government under Medicaid or Medicare. The court's decisions could have a big impact on how the Biden administration moves forward in the ongoing fight against the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or someone you know affected by either of these cases? What outcome are you looking for? Do you agree with the Biden administration decision to mandate a vaccine requirement or masks as an alternative for larger businesses? And how about for healthcare workers? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Brian Dean Abramson is adjunct professor of vaccine law at the Florida International University College of Law. He's the author of the treatise Vaccine, Vaccination, and Immunization Law. Brian, welcome back to Central Time.
It is a pleasure to be back.
Let's take a quick look at the two separate executive actions here from the Biden administration at stake here. First of all, this mandate for vaccines with some testing alternative for larger businesses. Remind us, please, what that would do.
That would require all businesses with more than 100 employees to either impose a vaccination mandate on their employees or have those employees tested for COVID-19 on a weekly basis. And that testing would have to be conducted by a third-party testing lab or by some supervisor of the employee. It couldn't be just conducted by them at home because we want to be sure that people aren't faking the results or not bothering to take the tests. So there are certainly some costs imposed by that. And most businesses, the idea is, will decide that they just want to require vaccination of their employees. There are a lot of exemptions built into the regulation for employees who work entirely from home or entirely outdoors. There are religious and medical exemptions available, but generally speaking, for larger companies, any company that has over 100 employees, that has employees who are coming into the office, it would apply to all of those employees.
That's one mandate. And then there's the healthcare worker one. What did that do?
Well, the healthcare mandate or the CMS mandate is interesting in that it comes from kind of a different position. So the OSHA mandate is the government just saying, in order to regulate the health and safety of workers, you have to do this. If you don't do this, we're going to charge you a fine, basically as an OSHA violation. The CMS mandate is premised on the government sending Medicare and Medicaid dollars to healthcare facilities. And there are a tremendous number of hospitals, long-term care centers, ambulatory care centers, and so forth that receive as a large portion of their revenue, Medicare and Medicaid dollars. And the government saying, well, you know, this is our money. We get to decide how we're going to spend it. We're not going to send it to entities that do not have a vaccination mandate for their employees. And the CMS mandate doesn't have an out for testing. It doesn't say, well, you can mandate or you can test. It just says everyone has to be vaccinated unless they have a legitimate medical or religious exemption.
Okay, here we are. U.S. Supreme Court expedited, got this thing into a hearing today. These two things, before we look at some of the legal arguments in the separate cases, how much do they overlap? Is it likely that the court is going to use the same principles to decide both the healthcare worker one and the large business one?
Well, I would say that based on the arguments and the tenor of the arguments, the justices are looking at these as two different cases coming from very different positions. So it is quite possible that we could have an outcome where they are determined differently, where the justices do say this is allowed the way that it's been done and this is not. There was a lot of focus with respect to the OSHA argument on whether this is a government agency taking too kind of big of a bite in terms of regulating the workplace. And there were arguments in the CMS argument about, well, whether the fact that the government can just decide how to spend its money the way that it wants and the fact that this is a spending clause argument as opposed to what the OSHA mandate is, which is an interstate commerce clause argument. So they were taken very distinctly. There are also very distinct means by which these were imposed. OSHA has what's called an emergency temporary standard element to the statute that gives it authority to regulate workplace safety, which allows it under very specific conditions that are laid out in that statute to impose a requirement like this on an emergency basis. CMS doesn't have quite the same thing. They do have language which allows them to put forth a rule for an emergency, but it doesn't have quite the same set of constraints. So that's something else that distinguishes them, that the justices are looking at them distinctly for, to see, you know, if one of them is permissible and one of them is not.
We're looking at federal vaccine mandates from the Biden administration, one for businesses of a certain size, another for healthcare workers. In the Supreme Court today with hearings earlier, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see these mandates come into full effect? Do you not want to? Do you think these are things that should be left to the state level, not the federal government, even if you agree in principle with the idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Brian, state mandates have made it up to the U.S. Supreme Court, I believe. What have we seen when it comes to those?
Generally speaking, and then this is going back over a century, state mandates have been upheld. The first case that was brought before the Supreme Court was in 1905, Jacobson v. Massachusetts, and the court said fairly forcefully that states have the right to impose very aggressive vaccination mandates. In that case, it was a law requiring everyone to be vaccinated, not in a particular occupation or under particular circumstances or for access to education or something like that, but every citizen to be vaccinated or face a fine, an actual criminal penalty. And there have only been a few other cases where vaccination has directly come to the Supreme Court, or a vaccination mandate has. But recently, in the past months, the court has denied a lot of requests for stays that have come to it, even though those haven't come as kind of fully formed cases to the court. So that is kind of the position that we're in. And during the oral argument, in fact, Justice Gorsuch mentioned that he had just recently himself denied a stay in a state vaccine mandate case.
What did you hear from justices on the OSHA requirement today? What kind of things were they interested in, asking about, seemed to have on their mind?
The justices generally seem to be split, I think, along three different lines. There were some justices who are very focused on what is called a major question doctrine, the idea that federal agencies can't engage in major changes to basically the way that society as a whole works, and that imposing a vaccination mandate on all employees in these large companies, which is tens of millions of people, is such a change. That was coming primarily from, I think, Justice Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Justice Breyer was very concerned with the fact that the epidemic has become so much more far-reaching just in the couple of months since the OSHA mandate was enacted. He pointed out that yesterday we had 750,000 people who became ill with COVID, and that's 10 times the amount that were becoming ill on a daily basis when the mandate was enacted. And he's, you know, very concerned that how can we say that it's not in the best interest of the public to allow these mandates to go forward. So that's very much a divide that was seen on the court. And I think the primary concern is this federalism aspect. Is this something that should be in the hands of the federal government? And beyond that, should be within the power of an agency to impose a vaccination mandate on a large swath of the population without Congress specifically having said, you have the power to impose a vaccination mandate? And that's also kind of a big question is, you know, does the government have the ability to impose a vaccination mandate where they've spoken to protecting health and safety, but haven't specifically said vaccination? And, you know, that's a novel situation that we're in. So it's a novel question that is facing the court.
So we're going to call her at 800-642-1234. Peggy is with us in Boscobel. Peggy, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Peggy?
I just want to express my opinion. I feel that the government is very wrong in trying to mandate this vaccine. People need to be able to make their own choice. And if they do not want it, they should not have to be forced to get it or lose their job. That's not right.
Peggy, thanks for the call. Brian, are these some of the issues that the justices were bringing up today?
You know, one of the interesting things was that all of the justices, it was actually announced by the court that all the justices had been vaccinated and have received their booster shots. That's something that the court acknowledged a few days before this argument. There's no skepticism on the part of the justices that vaccines are effective and the most effective way to end the pandemic, or at least temper the pandemic. The real question is entirely about, is it something that is nonetheless within the power of the government? And indeed, one of the issues that came up was that if people who are fully vaccinated by choice, who have chosen to be fully vaccinated, which is most of the population, if they are better protected from the virus, and the only people that we really need to protect from the virus through a mandate are those who have kind of voluntarily chosen not to be vaccinated, or primarily those people, then is it really the government's business to impose that on them if they've already made the choice not to be vaccinated? Now, it was brought up that there are some number of people who would be vaccinated if they could, but can't because of medical reasons or religious objections. But primarily, this is the concern about whether people who are unvaccinated are really sort of in a grave danger, not just possibly getting sick, but are they, if they're younger people, if they are in a cohort that's less likely to experience severe effects from the disease, are they in this grave danger to which they need to be required to be vaccinated to protect them, even if it's not their choice? And that's something I think the justices are wrestling with. You know, I think the justices who are inclined to allow the mandates to go forward are thinking in terms of, well, we don't want people spreading the disease, even if they're making a choice themselves that they don't want to be vaccinated against themselves becoming sick with the disease. There's no sense that it's a question of whether the vaccines are effective or whether the vaccines are particularly safe. But there are some exemptions in the statute or in the regulation that allow people with medical and religious objections not to be vaccinated. So it really comes down to people who don't have any kind of objection like that, but still don't want to be vaccinated, and whether they should be in a position where they can be required to lose their job if they're not.
Thanks for that call, Peggy. We're talking to Brian Dean Abramson, adjunct professor of vaccine law at the Florida International University College of Law. We're looking at a couple of federal vaccine mandates that came before Supreme Court justices today for oral arguments. You could join in with your thoughts on these federal vaccine mandates, one applying to companies of above a certain number of employees, another to healthcare workers. They both work a little different. Do you like this idea? Do you worry about it? What questions do you have about how they work and what Supreme Court justices had to say about them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with Brian Dean Abramson, adjunct professor of vaccine law at the Florida International University College of Law. We're talking about the federal government's authority or lack thereof to impose vaccine, mask, or testing mandates on large businesses and federally funded medical facilities. It's at the heart of two cases Supreme Court justices heard oral arguments on today. You can make your oral argument one way or the other at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Becky is with us in Houstonford. Becky, hi.
Hello there, and thank you for taking my call. I've had a variety of work experiences of being mandated to have either vaccines or protective gear that I wear. In some school districts I've worked in, I was mandated to get the DPT vaccination, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. Pertussis, obviously, is whooping cough, is very, very deadly to the youngest siblings of school children and may even be damaging to themselves. I've been on other jobs where I was required to be tested for and to have vaccination against hepatitis. And on numerous jobs, I've had to wear various protective gear, whether it be hair nets or masks, because I was working in a high dust environment, steel-toed boots, various protective gear, including hearing protection. And I certainly believe that people have a right to choose not to get vaccinated or to wear such equipment, but then they're also choosing to not have that job because in refusing safety measures, they put themselves, their coworkers, and the general public at risk.
Becky, thanks for that call. And Becky, I think Brian hitting on some of the arguments from the Biden administration and some of the justices who were leaning that way.
Absolutely. It's a longstanding principle that employers can require employees to engage in a whole range of safety measures. Vaccine mandates coming from employers and coming from states have been a longstanding thing. And one of the things that came up a couple of times during oral arguments was the fact that OSHA has for 30 years had a bloodborne pathogen standard, which, although not requiring vaccination, does speak to the importance of vaccination for hepatitis B for those who are exposed to human blood in the course of their work. Someone raised that in the course of the oral arguments and questioned, well, isn't that just for healthcare workers? And counsel for the government pointed out that actually it can apply to stewardesses and even janitors and so forth if they're in a position where they might come in contact with human blood. And that requirement at least says that they have to be offered the hepatitis B vaccination, and then they have to sign some acknowledgement that they're more at risk if they don't receive it. So it's a bit short of requiring that they actually receive the vaccine, but that's something that was pointed out as showing that the government has the ability at least to address infectious disease and that promoting vaccination at some level is within their power to do that. So certainly it's very longstanding. It's something that, you know, one of the questions is this within OSHA's reach? And that the bloodborne pathogen standard is something that OSHA has promulgated and has been on the books for a very long time now. And that's something that people should be expected to understand, at least, that there are health regulations and there certainly are circumstances where people in a particular job will not be able to keep that job if either their employer or some level of government says you have to engage in certain practices and they're not willing to do that. The thing that makes this different is that it is novel for the federal government to be requiring specifically vaccination or testing for employers to impose on their employees. The idea being that if you're not somehow exempt from that, you're going to be terminated from that job.
Becky, thanks for that call. We'll go to Chuck now in Iron County. Chuck, hello.
Hi, I'm a healthcare worker, and we just got a memo today saying that even though I'm vaccinated, I'm going to be put in the unvaccinated group because I don't have a booster shot. So I'm just concerned about continually moving the line as to what a vaccinated is.
Chuck, thanks a lot for bringing that up, because that's Brian. If I have the timeline right, boosters weren't getting as common yet when these were first issued, right?
Right. And part of the Biden administration's plan that they announced on September 9th was to make booster shots readily available. But neither the OSHA nor the CMS regulation has any requirement for booster shots. Mm-hmm. They both consider someone to be fully vaccinated if they've just had the original two-shot series of one of the mRNA vaccines or the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And that hasn't been spoken to in the United States at all. I don't think there is an appetite within the agencies to require that at this point or to attempt to require that, given the stance of their regulations at the moment. There are other countries, Israel, for example, that are requiring people to receive the booster shot to be considered fully vaccinated for access to all the purposes for which fully vaccinated people have access to things.
Chuck, thanks for sharing your story. Time for one more caller. Wayne is with us in Superior. Wayne, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy Friday. I guess I work at a construction site with over 500 people, the majority of which they're all vaccinated and boosted and ready to go. But in a comment to your guest and somebody else would call in and saying that it's absolutely a right to have a job and should have the choice not to get the shot. But my question to them is, how does that trump somebody else's right to earn a living for their family? Because even though they have none or mild symptoms, if they test positive because they were working around somebody that didn't get the shot and got sick, They have to go get a COVID test. It comes back positive, and I have to send them home for 10 days.
Wayne, thanks for the call. So a burden, Wayne says, for that vaccinated person if they get infected by the unvaccinated person. Is that a burden in our last minute, Brian, that the court is interested in?
Yes, the court is very interested in that, and that's one of the things that they also talked about, this concern that on the one hand, if you require vaccination, people will leave their jobs or be forced out of their jobs. But on the other hand, if you don't require vaccination, then you'll have people getting sick or becoming contagious, and then they won't be able to perform in that job anyway. So that's something that justices are considering as an equity that might balance out.
Wayne, thanks for that call. And Brian, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
We've been talking to Brian Dean Abramson. He's an adjunct professor of vaccine law at the Florida International University College of Law, wrote a treatise on issues related to vaccination laws. We talked to him today about two COVID-19 vaccine mandates. They came from the Biden administration. They were argued today in challenges before the U.S. Supreme Court earlier in the day. You can keep sharing your thoughts, by the way. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.